And we also want to talk about the things He has done. We want to remember them again and again. And always want to look into the Word anew, so that we can see all the things He has done when He walked here on earth. And let us not forget to look at all this and remember what He did in our days and what He is still doing. Because we know He has not changed yet. He is still the same. People may change. Nations may change. Rulers on this earth change their opinions or their intentions. They can't keep their promises. But the Lord, He keeps His promise. He delivers what He promised. And we can rely on it. And we can be sure what He has promised, He will also carry out. And so we are glad and thankful that we do not only come together for sensationalism, but that we hear His Word, that we worship Him and praise His name. Maybe we should read a word from Him right now, when He was on earth, how it was. And I think it's the most beautiful thing when you can read about Him and when you can talk about Him, but also when you can sing about Him. This songwriter said, "I want to sing of my Jesus." Of course, we want to do that too. We don't want to forget that. But everything that is to the glory of His name, we want to do that too. Before we pray, I would like to read a word about those days when the Lord walked this earth from Mark 6, right from the beginning, the first verses. Here it says, "And He went out from thence and came into His hometown." We know who it was. It was the Lord. And His disciples followed Him. And when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing Him were astonished, saying, "From whence has this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief." That's the thing. When you think about it and reflect on it, to me this word became very great. Of course, whoever had faith could behold the glory of God. And those who had no faith looked at earthly things. They looked at his brothers. They looked at his sisters. They looked at Joseph. They looked at Mary. And they saw nothing good there. Certainly not. You know, they were offended at him, even though they saw that such wisdom was with him, even though he did such mighty things, they were offended at him. This is it. See, the Lord saw that they could not believe, and he said, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown, where all knew him. Yes. And when we read the remarks that Brother Branham gives about him, when you read all that, you can imagine that indeed he could not do much there. He could only do something where he was believed. Where he was not believed, he could do nothing. And I would like to say, dear brothers and sisters, it is still the same in our day and age. Yes, nowhere can a man of God do less than in his hometown, in the place where he lives, and among the people where he stays, and among his acquaintances. You know, when a stranger comes, of whom they know nothing, of whom they see nothing, and he only needs to say a few words, and there is such faith and such trust, and the words sound so beautiful to the people, and they say, what a great man, what wisdom is there in him. Oh, you know, that is really so. But you know, it doesn't matter. We have to look at what God has done, what he has been sent to do. We have to look at the spiritual side, and that continues to our day. We cannot look at the earthly, no, but we must look at what God has done. Dear brothers and sisters, this word, we know Brother Branham has spoken much about it, much more could be said, but may the Spirit of God transfigure it to all of us. Let us ponder on it. And let us imagine how the Lord must have felt that he could not do much among his relatives and acquaintances in his hometown. But still, they had to perceive that something was in him, that something was there, and they could not put it together. But we are grateful to God that he has given us grace. Brothers and sisters, let us not look at each other. Let us not see ourselves in everyday life and this and that. But let us look at what God has done for us. And then maybe a few more verses before we pray. And he went round about the villages, teaching. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, depart from there, and shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. And they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. This is a wonderful word. It rejoices us, and we are thankful to God, as we said at the beginning, that we may speak of His word. But not only that, but that He refreshes us with His word, that we are blessed by His word, and that His word speaks to us and becomes so great to us, and that we can say, indeed, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and You have blessed us by Your word. Indeed, heaven and earth shall pass away, but His word abides forever. Now, let us praise and worship Him for His wonderful and precious word. Let us rise to do so. We thank You for this hour of grace. Lord, we thank You that we may come to You and worship You. And we thank also for Your word, which has already spoken to us. Lord, we see from Thy word how despised, how spurned, how rejected. They didn't believe, Lord. Though Thou hast done such things, Lord, but give grace to us that we may not reject, but that we may believe, Lord, that we trust in the hardest hours, Lord, of our lives, that we may not cast away our trust, nor diminish our faith, no, Lord, but that we may have it as Abraham had it. O faithful God, give it to me, give it to us all by grace, and keep on speaking to us, Lord, tonight, Lord. Use, Lord, my brothers, O God, use whom You will use. Lord, we worship You in our midst, hallelujah. We praise Your holy name, which is above every name, Lord. Praise be to You and worship. Glory to You, the Lamb. Yes, we will sing of Thee, sing praise to Thee, and exalt Thy glorious name, O Lord, and also speak of Thee and testify of Thee. Hallelujah. Testify to the people what You are doing in our days. Bless us and use us, Lord, each one, where You can use him. Savior, do it in all of us. That is our desire and our prayer. Let no one go out from this room unblessed tonight, O God, but bless Your people, even all who cannot be here tonight. Bless, for Your name's sake, is my prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I came to the front with a smile on my face. Brother Rus said two things. I hope you all understood it correctly. I'm sure he noticed it himself. Somebody could leave here and say, Brother Rus prayed that nobody should leave here blessed. And he wanted to say that nobody should leave here unblessed. You know, you all know my saying, he who is right in his heart understands all things right. He knows exactly. He not only hears acoustically, but he goes along with his heart and understands even more than is said. That's how it is. But when he said that the brothers would then continue to minister, I certainly expected that he had no slip of the tongue and meant that the brothers would come. That is why I smiled a little. We are grateful to God. After all, there is nothing on earth that happens for the first time. It's probably in Ecclesiastes that all things that are, have been, and will be again. God calls back what has disappeared. You who know the Bible well know that in one place it's written, even his brothers did not believe in him. Who knows this scripture? Let me see your hands. Most certainly all of you. I have not seen all the hands, but who can find it quickly now? I didn't have time to look it up, but we have a Bible study tonight, and we don't have to hurry to look for it. But we would be glad if this scripture could be found by the end of this reflection. We want to be brief in what we say, if the Lord helps us. That is to say, I have absolutely nothing to say this evening. And I was only reminded of the word that the Lord said to Paul, and this is in his testimony in Acts chapter 22, chapter 22, in verse 18. Here it says, and saw him, saying unto me, make haste, and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Paul was, after all, a man who was not unknown in Jerusalem, and he made a proposal to the Lord that he would preach the gospel there, in the very city where religious life is now centered. And if we think humanly, then we can ask ourselves the question, would God not have been able to direct the hearts of all these people in such a way that they would suddenly have beaten their chests and said, yes, if the matter is like this, and this Saul, whom we all know, if he now experiences a conversion, and if the Lord has revealed himself to him, yes, then we cannot help but believe. And the Lord himself appeared to him and says, make haste, go away from the city. He said, hurry up, because they will not accept your testimony about me here. We sometimes wonder why certain things happen one way and others another way. I say again, it would have been a small thing for God to open the biggest door in Jerusalem for Paul, that thousands and thousands would have come to believe. But here is the mystery. Thousands had come to faith. Once 3,000, and if I'm right, once 5,000 are mentioned. Is that right? Yes, 5,000, but not through Paul's ministry. In the kingdom of God, even with the greatest men of God, things do not go according to their desire. God had a different way with Paul. And after he says here, but Lord, you know, and they also all know, when Stephen was stoned and his blood was shed, I stood by, I took pleasure in it. He admits it openly, kept watch by the clothes, and so on. When he was put to death, he wanted with all his might, In purely human terms, that would have been the opportunity. There were already thousands, and if there had been thousands more, that would have been several thousands. And what was the way of God? I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And when we read the letter to the Galatians later, it says that Paul and Peter shook hands and said, "You will work for the Jews and I will work for the Gentiles." There was only one thing he was supposed to do, and that was to help and care for the believers, for the poor in Jerusalem. So it was not as Paul wanted it, but as the Lord had ordained. The apostles, great men of God, were already in Jerusalem. Peter was there, and many things happened. This man, he wanted to send him to the Gentiles. And therefore the Lord said to him, "Your testimony will not be received in this city concerning me. I am sending you to the Gentiles. Set out," it says here, "depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." When we, I think it's in chapter 28, or do we even have 28 chapters here? Yes, of course. It's probably the last chapter. Yes, that's where you find him still in the tenement. And he gave the last verses in chapter 28. It says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him." So the ministry was carried out, not what Paul wanted, but what the Lord wanted. The Savior had also told Peter in advance, "When you were young, you went wherever you wanted. When you get older, another will gird you, and you will have to go where you don't want to go." He had to go this way. Otherwise, the word of the Scripture could not have been fulfilled, that the Gentiles too would have been included in the plan of salvation of our God as joint heirs of God's grace. Now, when we think of our Lord and read the verse, "And he marveled because of their unbelief," there is another scripture where he marveled because of their faith. I think it was with the 4 people who lowered the 1 paralytic there, right in front of him, at his feet. Here, he marveled because of their unbelief. And I read somewhere today, when he began to announce judgment in the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida, and all those cities where great things had happened, he did not announce judgment in the cities where nothing had happened. He announced judgment where the greatest and mightiest things had happened. And when we see here that people, on the one hand, testify that mighty things have happened, he has done miracles, the sick have been healed, and yet they were offended at him. I am probably already one of those who like to deal a little bit with what the brothers before me have already said. But one cannot simply pass over it. Here is the Lord among his own, and one should have said that they should have known best, for no one had seen, heard, and observed as much as they. And yet, as has already been said, they looked humanly and said, "Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" They have, of course, already left out Joseph here. They attributed the matter to Mary anyway. And that was the end of the case for them. And then came this James and Joseph, or whatever his name is, or Joseph is the name of the one, and Judah and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? And here we remember the words of the Lord. Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? And there he calls out loudly to the crowd, all those who do the will of God, these are my brothers, these are my sisters. But they were thinking humanly. He was speaking divinely. And this strikes me now. Excuse me if I make this remark. But there was just in this context where he said, these are my brothers and sisters who do the will of God. There a woman from the crowd cried out, blessed are the peps which thou hast sucked. And I thought, my God, what a thing. Blessed is no one, God alone. And blessedness is in Jesus Christ alone. And I thought to myself, man, somehow, men have judged humanly. And you know, if I could find this word now, it used to be possible, now it's not. Luke 11. Here it says, in Luke 11:27, and it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice, and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the peps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God, and keep it. Here, this, I'm sorry, I almost said, this was the beginning of the Catholic spirit. Here a woman somehow calls out from the crowd and wants to beatify that woman. She was only, as we heard it often enough from Brother Branham, she was only the instrument, only the place through which God came into this world. And the Lord almost interrupted her and shouted, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Not the womb that has borne someone and the peps that have been sucked, but what God has done in us through his word. Herein lies the blessedness. And you could read many such passages. But right here, people have looked at the outward. They forgot about what was happening. And they were offended at him and said, his brothers and his sisters are here, and Mary, and so on. And that was the end for them. And it says, he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. It is very strange that even our Lord depended on the faith of those who listened to him. How much more we, as poor, miserable bunglers, who basically have nothing to say. And what was it with Brother Branham? How many times did we say it? The angel of the Lord said to him, if you can get people to believe you, then nothing will stand in the way of your prayer. And there too, it was the case that his own people just could not believe. People came from all over the world, and one's own people could not believe. Faith is a matter of God. Either it is given to a person, or it is not given. Blessed is he to whom this faith is given. And if it is a faith worked by God, then the person is not offended. If someone has become a believer in Jesus Christ, has truly become a believer from the heart, he cannot be offended. Only those can be offended who have seen the outward appearance, who went along in the enthusiasm, who have spoken along when it was said that great things were happening, healings were being performed, crowds were gathering. But when it suddenly came to the point where these gifts, healings of the sick, wonders and miracles come from, and yet born out of wedlock, no, This thing we don't understand, and they were offended. But thanks be to God that not all were offended, nor will be offended. That there are people who have experienced God in the depths of their heart. And I say again, whoever was converted to God and was taken hold of by Christ, all things work together for good to them. Everything will bring him closer to God. And he will not see with human eyes. He will close his eyes. And he will open his heart. And through the Spirit, it will then be revealed to each one what it is all about. And our Lord had to say, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. Of course, that was so, and will remain so. What shall we say, as we are not prophets, and never will be? That's a difficult position to be in, you know? Sometimes people say, oh, if God is with you, nothing will stand in the way, and so on. I heard recently, I guess it's a sermon, there Brother Branham writes to certain brethren in South Africa. He says, on the day of judgment, the blood of the souls that would have come to the faith through my ministry will be required of you, for you have prevented me from coming back. A person has to imagine that. God had even shown him that he would go back, that mighty things would happen. And there was one sitting in the government who informed the embassy and said, if that man comes, this must not be. And already it was prevented. Such a great man of God. Wouldn't we all say today, oh man, couldn't God have had him buried overnight? Couldn't God have made the way and that people in government just realize that this is a good for nothing and thus pave the way? And a man of God, I personally believe that Brother Branham was probably the greatest man of God that lived on earth. And that he was probably given an extraordinary ministry like no other. And I thought about it. Noah knew what the Lord told him, and with that he went home and entered into glory. Abraham knew what God had told him, has fallen asleep, rests in peace. We have in this time all that God spoke from beginning to end to all the prophets and apostles, what he said through them, the whole work of God summarized, we have before our eyes, and not only that, the whole word, that the prophets themselves did not understand at the time they spoke. And I have now mentioned it very briefly in this circular letter that will be published. The prophets did not know what to say. They did not think about it, otherwise they would have spoken. And this is the case when a true prophecy given by God comes. If someone still has to think about what to say, forget it. Then such a thing comes from the will of a man. A prophecy is not a human deliberation. It is a real inspiration by the Holy Spirit. And only on this can the blessing of God rest in full measure. But we see that the Lord Jesus, that's how we heard it in the word of introduction, he could do nothing at all in his home country. The people were offended at him. And you know, When Brother Branham once asked, "How many are here who have come from outside?" he suddenly says, "If I see correctly, it's about 98%. And then he asks the question, "Where are the people from Jeffersonville?" And just in Jeffersonville, there was a woman preacher who was very popular. And I read one of her books in the earlier years. And she had drawn wisdom from all kinds of sources. And of course, she had put up many a thing. Such a man of God. And here we have seen it with the Lord. We have seen it with Paul. The Savior tells him, "Go from here. They will not accept your testimony about me." The Lord has to move on because he can't do anything there. Brother Branham, as mentioned before, such a great man of God. And yet, depending on faith to be in the hearts of the people. Now we come to the direct question. Do you think it is possible once again that God can work in us a true faith? That we not only have hope, but more than that. Hope is a thing that we have today and we don't have tomorrow. I mean now, are you convinced before God that we can turn to Him in prayer and that we have not yet lost our trust in Him? And that we perhaps even have to learn to distinguish the divine from the human, each one also with himself. You know, it's not only the people who are standing here in the front, but like the man who had just done the greatest mischief, and the visitor had seen and heard it, and suddenly someone knocks on the door, and the same man who had just smashed everything to pieces, he greets the brother and says, "Huh, hallelujah, I'm glad you have come." And of course, because it was a man who was so outspoken, he says, "You can save the hallelujah. First, pick up the pieces that you have just made." And yes, it really exists. It's not only the brothers who come to the front, who might be accused of something, but each one of us remained a human being, and we will remain human beings until we come from believing unto seeing. But the one thing that is at stake is simply the cause of God. It is not about you and me as individuals. It is about the work, about the Church of God, about the body of Jesus Christ, about the blood-bought multitude, and it is about the completion of this divine work, which I believe we will still see in this time. Can we count on God revealing Himself one more time? Can we count on Him to bless once more? Do you have the faith for that? Sometimes when we are here in prayer like this, then you don't know exactly, but maybe we don't have the ability to express it like this. You all know, we who preach, who proclaim the word, we depend on it, and we are only human. And if there is no echo from the people, and a sermon no longer brings forth faith, and the prayers do not go up to God, then it can quickly happen that you feel as if all four tires are flat. And you just want to get out and see what has happened. Not that we somehow expect people to give us a boost. Please don't mention us at all in your prayers. But just give thanks to God once if you believe He stands by His word. That we know we have not preached in vain, but that it has somehow been received in faith. I never felt that way in the earlier years, but now you almost depend on it. And therefore the question was whether you can believe that the Lord will once more shake heaven and earth, that He will once again do what He has promised, and certainly more, as He has done in the past. Maybe some things had to come this way, so that also this scripture should be fulfilled. The disciple is no different from his Lord, and the servant no different from his master, and much more. But let us put our trust in the Lord. And just imagine, we would have come to the Savior and would have said, listen, you are acting like this here, and your brothers and your sisters, they don't even believe. And you are here alone, and your brothers are not here, your sisters are not here. You all know the scripture. I say it again, where it says, for not even his own brothers believed in him. Have you found it in the meantime? Sister, you found it. Say it, please. John 7, verse 5. Yes, here it is. John 7, verse 5. Let me also read verse 4. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. It was very difficult, even for our Lord. Not good. He could have looked outwardly. They all stay at home, and I am now here alone in the service. What will the people say? He didn't think at all what the people will say. God spoke through him. He was God manifested in the flesh. He was not able to judge humanly. He judged divinely and went his way. Where he was received, he let himself be received. Where he was rejected, he let himself be rejected. He did not force himself on anyone. He went on his way. And then it says, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. Yes, my time has not yet come. Everything has its time and place, its meaning and purpose. But may God bless you, truly bless you, from the riches of His grace. It is easy, especially in the time of trial, to throw in the towel. But you can't win a battle that way. We want to fight the battle of faith to the end with God's help. And it says, he who perseveres to the end will be crowned. And this is how much we have let the Lord give us here, that we immerse ourselves in His Word. And by the grace of God, I have not let a single sentence pass my lips against any brother or against anyone until today. I leave everything to God. He is the righteous judge. He does not only see the outside, He sees the inside. Our prayer, my prayer is that God would give grace to all who are His own and guide them to reach the goal. One thing is certain, if we discern the body of the Lord and have the grace before God, then we will feel drawn together and united in the love of God. Where this divine union is not there, there is something wrong. It must be there, and it is there through the cross of Calvary alone. And at the cross, there is complete reconciliation and full salvation. There is nothing left to speak of. All is cast into the sea of forgetfulness forever. Reconciliation with God through the blood of the Lamb on the cross of Calvary. and connection with God goes through the cross, and connection with each other also goes through the cross. And all who find themselves under the cross have the connection with God and the connection with each other, fellowship with God, fellowship with each other. And those who focus on the cross, they will see the letter of requirements pinned there, and they will see the blood that has flowed down. But we must, as I said, leave it to the Lord alone, because not one can help the other. No one can order the thoughts. Everyone must stand before his God as he is. But one thing we want to emphasize is that we will continue to serve the Lord, and that with all that is within us, until we come from believing unto seeing. May God bless us. Let us not look on the outside, but really look as the Lord, as Brother Paul and Brother Branham and all the servants of God. They went their way, they had their commission. Those who came, came. Those who went, went. The Lord was also in a terrible situation, and I can imagine that his heart was torn apart when he had to say to his 12 disciples at the end, "Will you also depart from me?" After all the years of great things and ministry, that must have been terrible. You all can't sympathize with that at all. I can do maybe a little bit. I can understand it a little bit, what that might have meant for our Lord, who loved people so dearly, loved them out, and forgave them, pardoned them, healed them, freed them. And suddenly, the hall was empty, and the crowds were no longer there. And he said to the 12, "Will you also go away?" And then came the glorious words, "To whom shall we go? Only thou hast the words of eternal life. Where shall we go to listen to anything? It would be a waste of time and petrol money. It has become very expensive." I believe we owe it to our God to come to him who has called us and blessed us, who has spoken to us. He will continue to bless and to speak and to work through his Holy Spirit. Amen.